And I'm just realizing this as I get a little bit older, that God's will is to so break, the story of the breaking of the loaves and the feeding of the multitude, where Jesus, he lifted up the bread, the Bible said. And sometimes we get that turned around. Sometimes we say he lifted up the bread and he broke it and then he blessed it. But that's not how it happened. The Bible said he blessed it and then he broke it. And I really believe that's God's will in your life and in my life. He wants to so bless you that it breaks your heart. That you're just broken up. God, how could you be so good to me? So fill you with his goodness. So fill you with his love. So reveal to you what he's done for you in giving his only son, that it breaks your heart. And it's in that breaking that we are able to be multiplied and be distributed, just like that bread, to be part of him meeting all the needs of this whole world. Hallelujah. And that's my prayer, that you would be so blessed by God that it would break your heart. Isn't that wonderful? That's God's will and that's God's purpose. And I want to thank Brother Mark. He had to head out this morning, but he's such a blessing to me. And he's running around getting everything ready. And I know how it is sometimes when you got so many things on your mind, you might forget a few things here and there. But I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate him and his family and all that they do. And of course, that goes for all of you and everything that you do. But none of these things go. This ministry is going to be what it's going to be because what every single person adds. Amen? You are not, how should I put it? You matter. You hear me? You're a part of this body. Just as much as your little finger and your little toe is a part of your body. You, no matter how little you might feel you are and how insignificant you might feel, you matter to this body. And just do what God would have you to do. Just let the Holy Spirit guide you. It may be just a smile, a handshake, an encouraging word. You know, the church, it does need people that just come and receive the word of God and support the ministry and that are faithful. You don't know how much that does to strengthen and undergird. But if God calls you into a fuller ministry, step into that, because you just don't know what God is going to do. There are so many talents in this church. We saw that at our Christmas program. I tell you what, we've got so much talent just bulging in the seams of this church. And I know God's going to use it all to his glory. I'm looking forward to that. What God is going to do. Just continue to pray. We're a great church. I told the church on Wednesday night, I said, we're not waiting to be a great church. We are a great church. Great because of what God has done in you and your lives. Great because of, you know, when I think about what we have done as a body, as a church, to bless people out of this little congregation, I tell you what, it's no telling what God can do as we just continue to submit to him and follow his leading. I want to talk to you this morning about Silent Night, Holy Night. You know, I was going to call Brother Mark and I was going to tell him what I wanted him to sing, but I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let him sing what he feels like God would have him to. And sure enough, he sang that song, which, you know, I believe is of the Lord. But I think what I want to do today and what I think the Lord would have me to do is to encourage you. We're living in a busy world, aren't we? And it's all the hustle and the bustle, and especially at Christmas time when there's so many things to do, when we're preparing for guests, when people are coming out of town and we're cooking and we're trying to get all the presents that we need to be a blessing to someone else, and we're wrapping those things and all the things that have to do, and get caught up in all of that, that we don't take the time to just be silent and to be still. And of course, that's really being missed today, right? In this world in which we live. It's always the move from one thing to another thing. If the conversation gets boring, we pick up our phone because there's got to be something on Facebook that we're missing. And I'm taken by so many houses where you go, not talking about any houses here, but I've been into some houses where that TV never goes off, even though you're sitting there. You're talking and you're trying to talk over that idiot box that's going on and on and on and on, you know. And it's like, can we shut that down and just focus on one another? But it's a constant a barrage, if you please, of things going on. Isn't it amazing? I'm walking through work and you hear somebody talking and you go to respond to what they're saying and you realize they're not talking to you. They got that ear set on and they're talking to themselves. They're washing their hands at the water fountain or whatever. When they're talking away, you think they lost their mind, and then they turn and they've got that thing on the side of their head. They're talking to somebody else. Never silent, never still. Never really alone, contemplating, meditating upon the goodness of God. As David said, when I consider the heavens... Do we ever just stop and consider the heavens? Just walk out and just look at just the canopy of stars and think about the wonder and the glory of it. He said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. To just step out and realize that God has created all of this for His glory and for our blessing, for our benefit. Hallelujah. We've got to put the brakes on, saints. We've got to put the pause button on. We've got to stop and consider, and we've got to hear the still, small voice of God. That's what I want to talk about today. He said it's silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. When that little grandbaby Mariah came into this world for the first time, I was blessed to be the first one to hold him outside of the parents. And just holding that little bundle of joy in my arms, and looking into her face, the only thing I could think was, oh, what peace. There was just such a serenity on this little baby's face. There'd been all kinds of chaos. They were sharing what went on. You know, they had the childbirth was right there in their own home, and the travail, and some throwing up went on, and all this stuff going on. And then Samuel was able to be the one that caught the little one and cut the band. So there's a lot of activity that was going on. But at the end of it all, there was this little baby in peace and innocence and serenity. Oh, this wonderful baby Jesus came into our world to give us peace. Wonderful, glorious peace. Hallelujah. Do you have peace? Oh, I feel that wonderful peace way down deep in my spirit today. Oh, hallelujah. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is on the throne today. He's in control. No matter what this world is doing, no matter what the decisions of that evil men make, hallelujah, there's a king. Hallelujah, there's a king born long time ago in Bethlehem, sitting on the throne in heaven, and everything is going to be all right, and everything is going to be okay. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God forevermore. I thought about just these scriptures, you know, how that, and this is, you know, I quote this a lot, but it's a beautiful picture because, you know, here Mary was asking the angel as he told her that you're going to give birth to the Son of God. She said, how's it going to be? And it's a wonderful description the angel gives. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest. Think about it, just like a warm blanket. Hallelujah. The glory of the Spirit of God. If you've been there, if you ever felt the Holy Spirit come upon you, if you just felt that warmth and that calm and that serenity and that comfort of the Holy Spirit, he said the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, the stillness. Oh, the serenity. Oh, the wonder of what took place in that young woman's life. The Holy Spirit coming down. It talks about it in the Old Testament where it says that when they were in the wilderness, that they were going to be provided. God was going to give them bread. He was going to give them manna. And how was that going to happen? The Bible said that the dew of heaven was going to distill down upon the earth. And when that dew was gone, there'd be a little round wafer there that was called manna, which represented Christ, the living Word of God. Hallelujah. So it would come down with the dew of heaven, and there would be enough provision for all the nation of Israel to go up and gather it out every single day. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God has made provision for you and me every day in the person of Jesus Christ, in that still dew that He wants to settle down upon your life, and He wants to bring the eternal Word of God. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, praise God. These are some other scriptures that came to my mind that I wanted to share with you about Jesus, the Word of God. It says in Psalm 72, verses 6 through 7, it says, He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. Is there anything more peaceful than sitting out on a summer's evening and hearing that gentle rain? Why is it you can sleep a little bit longer when it's raining in the morning? Amen. Something about it just says, go ahead and just lay down and take a few more minutes. Hallelujah. And just sleep. Praise God. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as the showers that water the earth. In His day shall the righteous flourish, and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. These are scriptures about Jesus Christ. He shall come down upon you like rain upon the mown grass. What refreshing as you see those little dew drops hanging on every petal. As you walk out in the morning and you see the dew there, and you see those little drops that look like little diamonds on every little blade of grass as you walk through. Hallelujah. You don't think there's much there, but when you walk through, your shoes are soaking wet. Hallelujah. He shall come down upon the mown grass. Hallelujah. And He wants to do that today in His stillness and His wonder upon your life. Again, in Deuteronomy 32:2, it says, My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Jesus, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, the eternal Word of God resting down upon your life and my life. Be still and know that He is God. Again in Matthew 12 and verse 19 through 20, it says, He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear His voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench, till He send forth judgment unto victory. A bruised reed shall He not break. You know, you walk through maybe along the shoreline, and there might be some reeds there, and you brush against it and it bends one over. It was once straight up and down, but there it is. You hit it and it's broken. It's just going to be there. Sometimes we're like bruised reeds. Somebody passes by, hurts our feelings, and they don't even know what they've done, and we're just hanging there limp. But the Bible said a bruised reed He will not break. Think about the Word of the living God. He comes along to heal us. He comes to bind us up. He comes to heal us with His eternal words. He knows how to speak a word in due season to him that's a weary. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus? A bruised reed He'll not break. A smoking flax He'll not quench. You know, there's something very annoying about a candle that's been put out or a lamp that's been put out, and it just smokes and smokes and smokes, burns the eyes, irritating to the nose. Oh, what is that smell? Maybe if you're really sensitive, you start feeling that burning in your lungs because that candle has been quenched. Amen. How many times does our walk with Jesus become like that? where our lamp for some reason has been extinguished. It's been snuffed out. We feel discouraged. We feel despondent. And we're really, you know, people get around us and we're just nothing but a smoke storm. You know, there's a lot of people in ministry like that. They're suffering from burnout. I've been there. Where you've given and given and given, you know, and you feel like you're doing all that the Lord would have you to do, and then people's response is not what you're hoping for, and at the end of it all, you feel burnt out, and you feel worn out and tired, and all you're giving off is smoke. But the Bible says that Jesus, He's not a smoking flax. He will not quench. He'll come along, Sister Teresa, and He'll blow on you. You know, you get down on that fire. You see, it's smoking bad. Everybody's getting up. They're no longer sitting around the fire. They all move way off. Somebody gets down there, Brother Tom, with a paper, and he's blowing that thing. And whoo, next thing you know, it bursts. Oh, glory. Burst into flame once again. And next thing you know, everybody starts gathering back around. The chairs start coming back around. The s'mores come out. What do you call them? I can't even think of them right now. One of those little round white things. Marshmallows. Thank you. Hallelujah. They get out the marshmallows. Everybody gathers around. Why? Because somebody's blown on the flame and it's been restored. This is the Word of God. This is the one that's come into our lives, that loves us, that cares about us. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Born in Bethlehem. Oh, be still. And know as He's got. I want you to stop for a moment and let Jesus at this time breathe again into your life and restore, hallelujah, what the devil has tried to take away from you, to encourage you, hallelujah, to do that gentle healing that only He can do in your life. Because all for Jesus to walk through your life, oh praise God, there's no greater fertilizer, it's been said, no greater fertilizer than the gardener's footsteps. How about we let Jesus just tiptoe through our garden again? Hallelujah. And begin to help us to be restored and to be renewed. Oh, silent night. Oh, holy night. The wonder of God's holy word coming into our life. Now, I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 9. I want to look at the story about Elijah for just a moment. Say, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, hopefully I'll help you to see that this morning. It's a story about God's still small voice. This prophet Elijah has become discouraged. He has prayed down fire from heaven. He has prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prays again, and the Lord sends rain. And he prays fire down from heaven, and then he takes all the false prophets along with the other men that were there with him, and he destroys all the false prophets in the land. Then he gets up by the power of the Holy Spirit as the rain is beginning to fall after 3.5 years of drought, and the Bible says he outruns the chariot of Ahab into Jezreel. This man knew what it was to ride on the glory and the power of God and to see the hand of God work in his life. But after all of that, Jezebel, who was the wicked wife of the king Ahab, they were so wicked and they had turned away from God. When she heard what Elijah had done, she sent it to him by a servant and said, God do so to me and much more if I don't have your head, basically, he said, on a platter before the day's done. You know, she said, I'm going to get you and your days are numbered. And when he heard that, he became very depressed and in despair. And he said to God, he prayed to God, he said, God, just take me out of here. Just take me out of here. You ever been there where you said, God, I've been through enough, I had enough? You know, and sometimes those times, they happen on the heels of the greatest blessings in your life. He had just been through so many amazing things that God had done, and now the wind was out of his sail, and he was praying for God, Just take me out of here. And somebody might have come along and said, Elijah, what's wrong with you? And wanted to shake him and wake him up and say, come on, Elijah. See all this stuff that you've been through. See all this stuff that God's done. Why are you acting that way? And how many know that many times that don't help? They come along and say, oh, hell, how could you possibly be discouraged? And yet, the wind is out of our sail. This is what I want to look at, but sometimes we fail to really understand that it's always been the still small voice of God that carries us through. It's just right here. It's Jesus Christ, born in a manger by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's come into this world. It's focus on Him and His holy word that's going to take you and I through. To bring us over, let's look, if you please, at 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's start there in verse 9 this morning. Just read a little bit here from this encounter that Elijah had with God. After he heard from Jezebel, he comes to this mountain and this cave, and it says, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Such a powerful encounter, and there's been a lot of preaching on this, trying to give some understanding as to what God was getting at with all that was happening here. But I want to focus this morning on this question. God's question, and so many times His questions to us are really more than we realize. He says, what doest thou here, Elijah? This is, how do I be still and know that He is God? How can I be still during this Christmas time? We've got to sit down and ask ourselves this question from God. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? God was getting at something for Elijah. He wanted him to really think about it and really ask himself, how did he get where he was at? Why was he here? What brought him to the place where he was at? Now, his first answer was, I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts. It's been my love for you, God. It's been my desire to glorify your name. It's what I see happening in my nation that's brought me to this place. And of course, that was true. He was jealous for the Lord. He was just desirous. He had prayed that God would stop the heavens, that it wouldn't rain, because he didn't. He said, God, it's not right that they should depart from you and not worship you. And so he was wanting God to turn them back to him again. But so many times, when we think about where we are, what we conclude is, it's been our jealousy. It's been our drive. It's been our motivation. It's been who we are and everything that we could do that has brought us to this place. But that's a mistake, saints. When we begin to look at our own strength and look at what we've done and think that's who got me here. But God wanted him to realize, no, Elijah, that's not who got you, that what got you here. It wasn't your jealousy for me. It wasn't your love for me. Oh, you've been that. You've done that. But that's not what it's all about. And then again, what he did to Elijah, he took him out, and the Bible said that he passed by him. And what does it say? The wind went by. A great strong wind rent the mountains and break into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. God had done some great things, some mighty, miraculous things in Elijah's life. Hello. Who wouldn't like to see that? Who wouldn't like to pray and see fire come down? Come on, hallelujah. He even raised a person from the dead. He outran a chariot, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, he prayed and God shut up the heavens that it wouldn't rain. But what God was saying, it's not in all of that. It's not in all those extravagance. He comes by a still, small voice. What we're supposed to conclude, I believe, is this. No, it's not your drive and your devotion that's got you here. It's not even the wonderful miracles that God's done in your life. The wind and the earthquakes and the, you know, all of that stuff. That's not what got you. It's been His still, small voice. Elijah, it's my still small voice that's brought you here. Hallelujah. That's got you to this place where you are today. Let's just walk through Elijah's life just to verify what I'm talking about. Remember, the Bible said he showed himself to Ahab by the word of the Lord. He came by the word of the Lord, and God, and he said, there's not going to be rain upon this earth except by my word, is what Elijah said. And you know why he was doing that? Because God had spoken to him and said, go tell Ahab that there's not going to be rain upon this earth until I speak my word. And then the Bible said, after he spoke to Ahab, and in verse 2 it said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, hide thyself from the brook by the brook Cherith. So by the word of the Lord, he goes to this brook where these ravens feed him, where he gets bread, and he's drinking by this brook every day. Oh, how often has God taken care of you? How often has God provided your every need? How often has it been that God has helped you to sit there? I can't imagine how many times that God has just provided for me, and when that little brook dried up in my life, God moved me to somewhere else, and I was able to sustain, and I was able to provide for my family. Hallelujah. And how did that all happen? Was it because of my wisdom, my righteousness, what I was doing? No, it was by the word of the living God. And when the brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming with the bread, the Bible said that the word of the Lord one more time came to him in verse 8 and said, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and get thee the Zarephath which belongeth to Zidon and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He gets up and he goes, and there's a woman getting ready to cook her last little bit of meal, and a little bit of oil that she has. She takes a couple of sticks and she's getting ready to cook their last little cake. And she says, and Elijah says to her, what are you going to do? Says unto her, what are you going to do? She said, well, I'm going to take this little bit of meal I've got and this oil that I've got, and I'm going to make a little fire, and I'm going to cook a cake, and me and my son are going to eat it, and we're going to die. He said, no. He said, give to me first. And he said, and then for your son and yourself. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, that meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Hallelujah, until God sends rain again upon the earth. Oh, can you see the still small voice? The word of God speaking to this man that's bringing him through every difficulty, every trial. Oh, it's important that you and I sit down and remember how God has spoken to us. That still small voice. Like Peter, who thought he'd come with such a great revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was quick to say, oh, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, it's not you, Peter. It's God that's spoken into your life that's caused you to believe. Oh, can you hear the still small voice of God who has spoken into your life? Why you're sitting here, why you're even in a church, why you even care to hear this little silly old preacher, hallelujah, why you even care to come on a Sunday morning and even glorify the name of Jesus, it's because of that still, small voice that chose you out, that spoke to you, that's calling out to you even now. That's speaking into your heart, that's calling you to give your life more fully and more completely. It's the still small voice that's coming down in that wonderful dew of heaven, the Holy Spirit descending upon us today. Even as I preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit descending upon your heart, causing you to hear and understand and say, there's something about this Word, something about the truth of God's Word that makes a difference in my life. Oh, the still small voice of God that came to him when the drought, God wanted to end the drought. And in 1 Kings 18 and verse 1 it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. He was there depressed, in despair, discouraged, despondent, wanting God to take him off the earth because he had forgotten it was God and his still small voice that brought him to every place where he was at. And then again, you know, he's praying over this altar that he made. As he's praying for God to send fire from heaven upon this altar and this sacrifice that he placed there, the Bible says in verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Every step along the way, he's simply obeying God's word, hearing what God is telling him, and doing what God would have him to. And all along the way, God is speaking to him and taking him. How many different places have you found yourself where God has provided for you? You may not have heard, but you've heard that still small voice telling you, this is direction that you need to go in. Oh, what a wonderful thing just to sit down and us just kind of sit like we're at the manger, you know, and seeing that little baby Jesus with the peaceful just grin on his face and just remembering, thinking to ourselves, you know what? Oh, how God has brought me through. How he's led me through every difficulty. How he's, oh, that still small voice, that wonderful word made flesh that come into my life, into my heart. Oh, the revelation. Oh, what God has done for me. Hallelujah. Personally and intimately, and brought me to the place where I'm at. If it weren't for God, would you be where you are today? Where would you be but for the grace of God, hallelujah, and what he's done in your life? I was thinking about this whole idea of this still small voice, and I thought about Samson. You know, Samson, he was that powerful man used by God. He took a jawbone of an ass one time, and with the jawbone, he killed 1,000 men. He was looking around for something to use, and he looked down, and there was a jawbone there, Sister Amy. He picked it up, and here come 1,000 military Philistines, and he just goes, heaps upon heaps, he said, I've slain 1,000 men. He just went a wailing, and next thing you know, when he get through the whole lot of them, they were laying in heaps on either side with him with this jawbone in his hand. And the Bible said after he got done, he was weary. He fell down and he prayed to God. He felt like he was going to die. He prayed out to God and said, "Oh God," said, "here I have. You've delivered these Philistines into my hand, given me a great victory, and now I'm going to perish. After all this, I'm going to die." And God showed him the jawbone. And he went back to the jawbone, and guess what, Cheryl, in one of the little claves, little hollows in the jawbone, the Bible said there was water that it formed. And he drank the water. God told him to drink of the water, and he was revived. Hallelujah. All it's God's voice. It's his word. When we've used it and we've won mighty victories, he says, "Go back to my word. Drink of my word. Hear my still small voice. It's my son. Hear you, my son." Hallelujah. You think about those three wise men, three kings, all the way from the east. Saw that star, takes them to Bethlehem. And they got off track, ended up in the palace because they thought, well, that's where a king's going to be born, right, Sister Nell? Where's a king going to be born? In Jerusalem, but in the palace. And you know all that stuff was going on there, Herod trying to figure it all out so he could go kill Jesus. That was what it was all about. And they were no doubt thinking to themselves, Gail said, how did we end up in this place? These people are not even concerned. These scribes that didn't even care about going to see the Messiah that was being just born 13 miles away, and this king that seems to not even know about this Messiah that we're looking for. But as soon as they got out of that palace, again, there was that star. That silent star, that heavenly star, hallelujah, speaking to them, saying, follow me, and I'll get you where you need to go. Oh, that still small voice, that silent star, drawing them from where they were to put aside all their things that they had to go and do and follow the star till they found themselves at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him. Oh, what do you got going on that's so important that you can't hear the still small voice of God, that you can't take some time and just break open the Word of God and let Him speak to you, or just sit down and just remember who it is and why you are where you are today because of His still small voice. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about my own journey, I would have never been here if it weren't for God's still small voice. And I didn't even realize it was Him talking to me, Tom, many times, but He was working. It was through my sister, it was through my brother inviting me to a camp meeting I never would have gone to if it wasn't for them. And I just said, I'll go along. And I sat there listening to the preacher, and I recognized that there was something unusual happening, something real about it. But I was just going to sit there after the altar call came, and my sister came and said, "Do you want to go to the altar?" I said, "Well, okay." And I ended up, there was that still small voice of God saying, "Son, come on." Kneeled down praying the sinner's prayer and still not really understanding or knowing fully what God was doing in my life. How God works, how God moves, how God helps us get to where we need to be so we can receive from Him. We could say the same thing about Mary. She could ask herself, what am I doing here? Right? Here she is in an old stable, pregnant as pregnant can be, wondering to herself, how in the world did I get here? And she could have got so upset and so mad, all if it weren't for that old Caesar and taxes. Come on. Oh, how I hate to pay my taxes. Come on, I can get an amen out of that. Oh, she could have sat there in the Mardi Gras thinking, oh, ungodly men and their choices, how it's made such a wreck of my life. And I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for that stupid law and the taxes I've got to pay and all of this thing that's going on. I rode on that donkey all night long. My backs are hurting and aching. And oh, what is going on? And she might even Probably not. But she might have been thinking, you know, God, what are you doing in my life? You ever been there? You ever thought that? But wasn't it the still, small voice inside of her? Oh, why can't I be in the inn somewhere, giving this baby in a nice, comfortable, at least if I got to be in Bethlehem, why can't I be in the Ritz? Why can't I be up in the Holiday Inn? Why can't I be where other women have given birth? But here I am in this lowly stable. But it was all because of the still, small voice of God. It was that wonderful Word made flesh dwelling inside of her that determined where she was going to be. The Word of God said that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. Micah said, that's how it's going to happen. Him that is from everlasting is going to be born in Bethlehem. So Mary, it wasn't because of all of that that's going on in your life that you ended up in Bethlehem. And it wasn't because of all that you ended inside of a stable. It was all because God's Word inside of your life. Oh, how supernatural. How wonderful for us to sit back and say, wow, what is God doing inside of me? I'm where maybe I wouldn't have thought I'm where. I thought maybe some other things have happened in my life. But is it nothing but the Word of God working in me? Now, I want to point out a few things and then I'll close here. When we start, the Word of God comes to us. And when He first speaks to us, we can't see how what God's Word is saying we're going to be, it can happen. Because what we see is only from a natural standpoint. Remember the words that the angel said that you're going to give birth to a baby. And she said, how is that going to be? I don't even know a man. She couldn't see. I mean, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? I don't even have, I don't even know a man. So how am I going to give birth to a baby? She could only see from a natural standpoint. How are you looking at your life? What God has planned for you, the promises that He has for you, are you only looking from a natural standpoint that how can it be? I can't see possibly how God could do this. But then the angel's words, remember, He said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, also the holy thing that's going to be born of you shall be called the Son of God. In other words, what's going to happen to you is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. It's supernatural, Kia. It's not natural. It's something God does when you and I hear His Word and respond to His Word. God does a supernatural thing, and that's what He did in Mary's life. And then we hear her later on saying, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, is that like anybody talks today? Would you hear anybody on your job saying, my soul doth magnify the Lord? My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Absolutely not. Because it's all about this guy right here. It's all about this guy right here, this outward man. It's how I look, how I dress, how I can feed him, how I can take care of him, comfort, all of that. But after she has this experience where the Holy Spirit comes upon her and God begins to work in her life and Jesus is being provided a body in her womb, then she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My real person, who I really am, is praising God. And then she goes a little deeper. She says, not only my soul, but my spirit inside of my soul is rejoicing. Aren't you tired of living a life that all you see is this person out here? Come on. All you see is this guy right here and how it's all going to work. But there's more to you than this. There's a soul, who you really are, who your real personality is, who God has made you to be, a living soul in the image of a living God. Hallelujah. An everlasting God. And within that is a spirit where you and I can communicate with this God who ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. Oh, hallelujah. You're more than what you see in that mirror. You're more, hallelujah. And God wants to awaken in us, hallelujah, the supernatural. When you really understand it, you'll be out every morning gathering up those little bitty pieces of manna, that Word of God. Hallelujah. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God does man live. It's not by what I can put in this guy, but oh, it's by the Word of God. Each and every day, hearing what He's telling me and stepping by faith into that wonderful purpose that He has for me. You know what Mary said when she heard that? It's so powerful. She said to the angel, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Oh, what a prayer. If we could all get down on our knees and say, "God, how you have spoken to me, how you've taken me through your still small voice, through so many tribulations and circumstances, brought me to where I am right now. Be it unto me. Be it unto me according to your word. Make me like Jesus. Change me. Do whatever it takes to help me to become the person you would have me to be." What a glorious journey. You may look at yourself and say, "I don't like who I am." You don't have to stay that way. Be it unto me according to thy word.